When it comes to your faith, how focused are you? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Losing focus is huge in the Christian life. If you get distracted, if you lose focus, you're not going to finish well. Now, the devil is the great distractor. He distracts you so he can derail you so that you're not going to succeed for the Lord and be fruitful for the Lord. So Paul ends his letter to Titus, and he wants Titus to stay focused and to teach the people to stay focused all the way to the end. You see, the Christian life is not a game. Man, it is real. And Paul tells us what we need to watch for, things that will distract you and derail you.
He can heal every scar.
Distractions, they are everywhere, from the mundane distractions of life to life-altering events that change the course of our future. These distractions often pull us away from God, from worshiping Him, trusting Him, leaning on Him, and sharing Him with others. And the Lord warns us that this is not productive for His children. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today. The lesson's about, well, staying focused. We're going to learn today how to stay attentive to the things of God and not on the diversions that Satan throws our way. This is undoubtedly God's will for us. Now, today's message is the last in this important 8-message series that we have been in the last couple of weeks called Setting the House in Order, a study from the book of Titus. And you can listen to any of these broadcasts again when you go to fromhisheart.org. Just click the radio tab. But right now, let's stay focused on today's message. Open your Bible to the 3rd chapter of Titus. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to teach us from God's Word about how important it is for Christians to stay focused.
Now, how many people in here remember the basketball player named Bernard King? Bernard King played for the Tennessee Volunteers in the 70s, and then he had about a 15-16 year career in the NBA. He was a great player. He played for the New York Knicks for a lot of his career, a scoring machine. Finished up his career, he was 16th on the all-time scoring leaders list for points. He had almost 20,000 points in his career in the NBA. Just a great player. One of the things that Bernard King was known for, he was known for his game face. He was just always so intense like that. Didn't trash talk or anything. He just played like that. And on Christmas Day, I think it was 1984, 85, scored 60 points on Christmas Day. And he is a good player. They did a 30 for 30 ESPN show on him that I watched just recently. And he said he was getting ready for a game, and there was a guy on his team that was a rookie, and Bernard had been in the league for a number of years. And the rookie wanted one of his friends from the crowd to meet Bernard King, and so he said, hey, come meet my friend. And King looked at him and really read him the riot act and said, hey, rookie, he said, you don't mess with me when I'm getting ready to play a game. I don't have time to meet your friend. He's focused on what he was doing. That's what made him such a great player. Arnold Palmer is a name most people know. He's one of the greatest golfers to have ever lived. Arnold Palmer said in 1961, it was the last day, the last hole of the Masters. He was up one stroke, 18th hole. He hit a great drive. All he had to do was par the hole, and he would have won the Masters. He said he was getting ready for a second shot, and one of his friends was in the gallery and yelled out to him and called him over and said, let me be the first to shake your hand in congratulations. And Arnold Palmer shook his hand and he said, when I did, I lost my focus. He said, I went out and double bogeyed that hole and lost the Masters. Losing focus is huge in sports. It's huge in the Christian life. If you get distracted, if you lose focus, you're not going to finish well. You're not going to do the things that the Lord wants you to do. Now, the devil is the great distractor, because the devil knows if he can get you distracted, if you're going good with the Lord and your eyes are fixed on Him, you know, that's what the Bible tells us to do, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So my eyes are fixed on Jesus. but then the devil tempts me over here. You know, the devil's kind of like a fisherman. The Bible talks about we're tempted by things when we, each one is lured away, and it uses a term in James like a fisherman does with bait. You know, and a fisherman goes out, if he's going to catch bass or something, he has these lures that are shiny and they look good. And so the devil has that, and he says, what about this over here? And maybe that over here is with sexual immorality, or maybe it's with financial impropriety, or it's some kind of thing. And he tries to pull you away, get your focus off the Lord, or as it is in so many people's lives, it's disaster, tragedy that strikes, and you can't reconcile that in your mind with how does a good God let this happen to me? And then you get bitter at God and you derail. You get distracted. The devil's the king of distractions. He distracts you so he can derail you so that you're not going to win the Masters. You're not going to make the shot. You're not going to succeed for the Lord and be fruitful for the Lord. So Paul ends his letter to Titus, and he wants Titus to stay focused and to teach the people to stay focused all the way to the end. You see, the Christian life is not a game. Man, it is real. It's real life. And what weighs in the balance is heaven and hell. Not for Christians, because a Christian's already put his faith and trust in Jesus, but for other people, for people that we rub shoulders with every single day. That person that doesn't know Christ, that's at your office, that's in your neighborhood, that lives next door, or maybe lives in your own house, a mom or a dad or a brother or sister or a child or a parent, that person's one heartbeat away from hell. So we need to stay focused on the Lord, because heaven and hell are in the balance. And Paul tells us what we need to watch for. He gives three exhortations, things to watch for, things that will distract you and derail you. Verse 9, he says, but shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Three exhortations from Paul. First one, don't get distracted by worthless debates and discussions. Shun, he says, foolish controversies. Foolish is the Greek word from which we get our English word moron. Shun moronic disputes and discussions that don't go anywhere, that don't lead to anything. He said those things are unprofitable and they're worthless. There's no benefit in that at all. It's kind of like treading water. It's just taking up time, but you're not doing anything. And he says, don't waste your time doing that. And there are some people, they just love to do that stuff, to get in debates and talk about controversial questions and questions that have no answer, because God hadn't given us the answer. So all you have are speculations, and they love to speculate about this and speculate about that. But it's like, okay, well, I don't know if you're right or not, because that's not given to me to know. So let's not spend a lot of time talking about that. You know, some of the theologians in years gone by, they would have these long discussions about how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. I don't know how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Who cares? That's a stupid discussion. And sometimes you find in seminaries, guys that hang around the cafeteria, that's what they are. They just like to have discussions and debates and things like that. Paul says, hey, watch out for that stuff. Don't get distracted by foolish controversies and genealogies. Be careful to not waste your time. You only have so much time. Life is made up of time. Bible says in the book of Psalms, Chapter 90, verse 10. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. If you number your days to see, okay, and in that same psalm it says, how many days do you have? It says, man lives to be 70 years old, or if due to strength, 80. So you can kind of figure out where you are there. You say, well, Jeff, I'm in my 80s. Well, you're on borrowed time there. You know, that's just what the scripture says. Sorry, don't get mad at me. It says 70 to 80 years, but we're living better now, so maybe it's 80 to 90. But, you know, you have a shelf life. And so teach us to number our days. How many days do you have left? Somebody said that wasting time is just committing suicide by degrees, because your life is made up of time. You only have so much time, so don't waste it. Ephesians chapter 5 says that we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. Don't get sucked into these conversations that don't go anywhere, talking about foolish things. Now, I have people that will question me from time to time or email me from time to time asking me things about this, that, and the other as it relates to the Bible or some doctrine or some teaching or some issue. And I'm always careful when I reply to those kinds of questions or emails, because I want to know this. Are you asking me for information, or are you asking me for debate? Because sometimes somebody will ask a question. They already know what they believe. They're asking you this to bait you into this discussion, and then they're going to go round and round about, you know, why do Christians worship on Sunday? The Sabbath is Saturday, and they'll go round and round about that. Or why do you say that Jesus was crucified on Friday when you can't be in the tomb 3 days if you're crucified on Friday? And they want to go round and round about that one. They already have in their mind what they believe. They just want to argue. And so sometimes when I sense that, I'll ask the person, I'll say, are you asking me this because you want to know, or are you asking me this because you want to argue? Because if you want to argue about it, then you need to talk to somebody else. I'm not going to argue with you about this. And see, I'm just not wired that way. God didn't call me to be a debater of truth. He called me to be a presenter of truth. Now, if people don't want to receive it, that's fine. But I'm not going to debate you on it back and forth. Let's spend the next 10 lunch periods talking about this stuff. And your heart is hard and your mind is already made up. There's no point. You know, the Lord talked about the different kinds of soil. And you have some hearts that are hardened. And you don't want to spend a lot of time on the hard hearts. You want to find, especially as I think through things, I want to find people who are open, who are ready, who want to learn, who want to grow, who want to receive. Those are the folks that you want to work with. Obviously, there are questions that come up. I'm not saying we don't ever ask questions. But there's a difference between asking questions and what was going on in verse 9, where you just have these controversial things. And Paul had already talked to Titus in chapter 1 about these teachers that had come into the church. He says in verse 10 of chapter 1, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain." They're all about the money. And he talks to Timothy about the same thing. People who are coming in and disrupting the fellowship because they would come in with, quote unquote, this highbrow teaching, this deeper truth, the deeper life, secrets of the Christian life. Paul says, hey, don't spend time on that. Don't waste your time on that. Be careful to not waste your time, and be discerning to not cloud your mind. One of the things that we don't really have a lot of in Christianity today, sad to say, in the pew, and oftentimes even in the pulpit, you don't have a lot of discernment. So people just receive everything like that must be coming from God. I heard it on the radio. So you got to be careful. Just because somebody picks up a Bible and says, "Thus says the Lord," the Lord may not have said that. And so be careful that you don't listen to things and genealogies. Somebody said in verse 9, it says, well, what's wrong with genealogies? The Bible has genealogies in there. Well, some of the false teachers in the day that Paul was writing in the 60s AD, they would take a genealogy and they would come up with all sorts of allegory off of the genealogy. You know, the genealogy, especially in King James, one of the problems that people had reading the Bible, they say, I'm going to read the Bible. They start in Genesis, and you read Genesis 1. Okay, I got it. Genesis 2, I'm tracking. Genesis 3, the fall of man. All right. Then Genesis 4, boom. Genesis 5, we start hitting so-and-so begets, so-and-so who begets, so-and-so who begets, so-and-so. And it reads like a Hebrew telephone directory, and you're like, oh, man, I'm out. I can't read this. I can't pronounce these names. But what they would do is they would take the so-and-so who begets so-and-so, and they'd say, this guy's name means this, and this is teaching this, and this is teaching that. And they'd come up with all these wild, fanciful things off of the fact that guy A had son B. And they would not take the scripture for face value when it says this guy had a son, his name was this. They would have all sorts of things. Be careful when people start coming up with that. I had somebody tell me the other day, they were talking to me about all the things in the numbers of the dates in the calendar and how the calendar numbers kind of corresponded with this and the Hebrew alphabet and all this stuff. And it's just like, I made my head spin. I was like, where's that in the Bible? That's not in the Bible anywhere. That's somebody coming up with something that sounds cool so that they can present that, and everybody's like, man, I've never heard that before. Well, yeah, no kidding, you've never heard it before because he made it up. That's why you've never heard it. If it's new, it's not true. And so just watch out for that. Be discerning so that you don't cloud your mind. I was doing a little research today on Reggie White. Reggie White played for the Green Bay Packers. He was a defensive end, just a great football player. And a dynamic Christian, but then something happened to Reggie White. He started to think that he couldn't really take the Bible for what it said in the English. He had to learn Hebrew, and he got very deep into Hebrew and everything. And then almost to the point where he rejected Christianity and just chose the Hebrew Messiah. And it was just kind of weird. You think, well, what happened? I think what happened to him, I can't be certain, but what happened to him, it sounds like something happened in verse 9. He started to speculate on things, and he started to fill his mind with controversial questions and things that have no answer and genealogies, and it caused strife and it caused disputes and arguments, and it caused him to shipwreck. It distracted him. Don't get distracted by worthless debates and discussions. Ask yourself, as you spend your time on quote-unquote spiritual things, is this helping me grow? Is this profitable and valuable and useful, or is this unprofitable? Is this just me talking about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Second exhortation, don't get distracted by divisive people. He says in verses 10 and 11 in the Good News Bible, give at least two warnings to those who cause divisions and then have nothing more to do with them. You know that such people are corrupt and their sins prove that they are wrong. People who cause division, those kinds of people, they can distract folks. They create unrest, and that was what was going on in the churches there in Crete. That's why he said, hey, you got to silence those people because they're upsetting whole families. They're causing division in the church. Now, the church all throughout the ages has had problems with the enemy coming in. Jesus told a parable about the tares among the wheat. The enemy comes in and he sows tares among wheat. He sows weeds among the wheat. They're not true children of God, and they come in and they infiltrate the church, and then they cause trouble in the church and they create divisions in the church. Sometimes good people, godly people, can get upset and then they get sucked into that and they're causing trouble in the church. But you mark it down. Anytime that there is someone causing disunity in the church, that person is doing the work of the devil, because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring disruption. He wants to cause disunity. He wants to destroy the fellowship of the church so that the church becomes a place where there's backbiting and fighting and strife and tension, and it's awful there. Have you ever been in a home? Maybe you were invited to a friend's for dinner or something like that, and you could tell that the husband and wife, the mom and dad, weren't getting along well. They were bitter at one another, and it was just tense in there. And you're just like eating your food and thinking, man, who invited me here? What did I do? God, what did I ever do to you that I have to come here? It's awful to be in a home like that. It's awful to go to a church that's like that, where there's all this tension and everything's swirling around and it's so uncomfortable. You know, one of the things that the Lord said, prayed it in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, was for unity, for unity. Father, that they may be one even as we are one, because unity is so important. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is a great witness to unbelievers. When they come in and they sense that these people are one, These people are focused on the same thing. And for us, we always mention what our mission is, loving God, loving people, and reaching the world one heart at a time. That's what we're called to do as God's people. That's what we're called to do in this church. And if other churches in other places, that's what they're called to do too, because that comes straight out of the Bible, where it says we're supposed to love God with all our heart, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're supposed to go and make disciples, reach people for Christ. So every church is to be involved in that kind of thing. And when a person comes to a church and there's love like that, and they're like, man, these people, they really care about one another. They're really focused on the same thing. There's power in that. But if they come to a church and they can tell, these people don't like each other. Man, the choir hates the pastor hates the staff, the deacons hate everybody. They just are like, what's up with this? This isn't a fun place. You want to go to a place where you sense everybody loves one another. And then you come in and they love you too. And it's like, man, I want to be here. So the devil will work to distract through division, because division hurts a church's testimony and it hurts a church's witness. And that's what the Lord's left us here to do, is to witness. So disunity in the fellowship is a work of the devil, and divisive people must not be given a platform. That's what he says in verses 10 and 11. Reject that guy. Don't have anything to do with him. You warn that person and you say, you're causing division here. You're causing disruption. Cut it out. You warn them twice. And if they keep doing it, then you don't have anything more to do with them. You're like, we're done talking to you. Stop doing this. You're out. That's what the Bible talks about, is church discipline, that you treat that person and you let them know, hey, we're not going to stand for this.
Well, this has truly been an important warning and an admonition to believers everywhere to take church discipline very seriously and not allow divisiveness to become a distraction from the things that really matter. The message today is called Staying Focused. It's the last message in Pastor Jeff's series, Setting the House in Order, a study from the book of Titus. Now, we hear part one of this message today. You can find out more about the message or the series when you go online to fromhisheart.org, or you can call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Now, tomorrow we'll air part two of this lesson, which will be the last of this series, the last of the week, and the last of the month, for that matter. And it'll also be the last time that we'll be telling you about the special monthly gifts that we have for your support this month. First, we want you to know that we could not be here and on over 740 radio stations nationwide were it not for those who listen to the broadcast, are blessed by it, and want to join in the effort to tell the world about God's love found exclusively in Christ. Everything you give goes to put these broadcasts on the air, and together we're making a big difference. And for your gift of $35 or more this month to From His Heart, we want to give you two of Pastor Jeff's series about glorifying God. The first is called Experience His Glory, Living in the Awe of God's Presence. And the second, Beyond the Glory, Seeing the Heart of God. These are our thank you gifts for your support this month. To get them, you can make your gift online at fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. That's 866-40-BIBLE. And God bless you for standing beside us and walking with us as we expand the outreach to touch the world. You are a difference maker in the only thing that, well, ultimately matters. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us, and hope you'll be here tomorrow for part two of this lesson called Staying Focused. That's this Friday, when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from God's heart, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.